Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa, Perek Sheni, Thursday night. Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa, Heitkuf Samachet. Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa, being single-minded in purpose, the purpose being to fulfill the will of Hashem, purpose being to do what's right. What's right means the will of Hashem, to find favor in the eyes of Hashem. It's all the same thing. It's all different ways of saying the same thing. But that's why you do something. You have no ulterior motives. Not what people think of you, not so people should like you, not so you should have people hold of you, not that people shouldn't, not to avoid people not holding of you. Right? Are we so sure, you know, why we put on tefillin every morning? You put on tefillin every morning because or else someone will say, hey, how come you're not wearing tefillin? Look at that guy, he's not wearing tefillin. There's no one around, right? How often do you drop the can in the supermarket, right? No one around, do you stop, comes crashing down, you stop to pick it up? So, Perek Sheni, the meat of Sha'ar Yichud HaMaisa is in Perek Hamishi, actually. That's where he gets into really specifics and details and practical eitzes and practical. Here he's just, you saw the first Perek was three lines long. Perek Sheni, we're up to page Kuf Samachas, so we're not up to it, we are now officially up to it. Ule'inyan b'meshayiya Torah b'maisim l'shem levado, how to build it up, how to attain it. Harei basor en yonim, you have to have foundations first. So the foundations are 10. Kasher yisboru b'nefesh adam v'yisamsu. When these 10, call it principles, call it foundations, call it yisodos, when they are clear to a person, by the way, okay, we'll go with his translation. Yisbaru means they're clear. He knows exactly what they mean. It's not cloudy, not something like that, but clear. The Yisamsu, and he's convinced that they're indeed so. But like really, not just lip service. The Yasem, and they become, he makes them, bosses, the foundation, the Nishmato, for his service of Hashem. The Yisod, Lamasa, and the basis for whatever it is he does. So when he, if he has this 10-point foundation, then he atar ma'asav l'shem yisalish sholem. His focus, the purity of his actions, that it's only for that single purpose. Ulo yifne luzuloso, and he's not turning to anyone else. He doesn't care about anyone else. He's not busy with what someone else will say or think or hold. And it doesn't have to be a specific person, right? We all know how when you pick schools for our kids, how much the reason is because of what. Well, let's talk about the schools. When the schools take in kids into the school, we all know that most schools take a kid in because based on what other people will think of the school if they take this kid in. We all know that. And people pick a school because of what people will say about them if they send their kid to such a school. What will people say about them? Ulterior motives are all around us. They surround us. Tor Meisim is very, very difficult to attain.
Does that make it right?
No, but it makes it wrong. The only thing that I will hedge about is when the Chavis Halvavos speaks very, very strongly that you shouldn't care what people think about you, so that I would hedge and say that's after many years of Avoda, you can attain that. But certainly in formative years or the first years of a person's life until he reaches a pretty high madrega, it's very good to care what people think about you, because many times that's the only thing that keeps us true and keeps us honest and keeps us doing the right thing, is what people say about us. And if we didn't care what people say about us, someone raised this point last week, it would not be a nice situation. So when the Chayim Zaldovitz says emphatically that you shouldn't care what people think about you, he's talking ultimately, after years of avoda, and you're ready to do things for the right reason, so then you should purify yourself and not care what people think about you. But yeah, certainly you start off that way. I mean, if a kid, you know, a kid starts off, he wants to get a good mark on the test, he wants to get promoted, he wants to, so, and an adult also, I'm sure he cares. So yeah, that's a dangerous thing. You know, if you're not ready for it and you just have a carefree attitude about what you do, that could lead to very bad things. But again, we saw that Chavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavavav ideal.
But okay. It's still a fine line. You're getting into it seems to me that we're getting into an area of what's called peer group pressure.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and peer group pressure, even in this type of situation, even somebody early on can cause them to be doing things for the wrong reasons.
Right. Correct.
Okay, and then
it is the wrong reason.
Really
peer pressure is the wrong reason. You want to know in a nutshell the whole Shaar Yichud HaMa'aseh, every single thing a person does and decides and thinks and says and does or doesn't do should be an answer to the question, does Hashem want me to do this? That's in a nutshell. We can skip now, we can go on to the next Shaar. That's it. That's the whole name of the game. Does Hashem want me to do this? That should be your only question, your only motive, and you should be able to answer that question confidently. Is this what Hashem wants me to do?
Right. But what I'm saying is basically when you hit a certain area, maybe for some people it's mid-teens, late-teens, maybe for some others it's in their 20s, but not that they think they have to look to other people for their approval until they're in their 50s or 60s or 70s. Okay, because that creates the potential for a lot of potentially not so good.
Well, the Chavis HaLevavot said it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's only a bad thing ideally and ultimately. Certainly as a person's growing up and in his formative years, you know, again, ideally he should do things because Hashem wants him to do it. But if a person develops a non-caring attitude of what, in the real world, if a person develops a non-caring attitude of what people think about him before he's on the level of doing things correctly for the right reasons, he's going to go off the track almost inevitably. What keeps us honest most of the time is that we sure do care what people say about us. The Chavis HaLevavot, though, in Shaar Yichud HaMa'aseh, is pointing out that, as you say, it's not the correct way. It's maybe a sin to the event, but it's not the correct way. Sometimes we have to settle for it. Okay, v'lo yikavel b'lodav, he shouldn't hope for any attainment from anyone else. His only intention is to fulfill the will of Hashem. And now he goes through these 10 principles. And we said last week, the first four are a plug for Chavis HaLevavot. Because he goes through really the Sha'arim that we've learned till now. And those are the first four principles. Tchilasam, the first principle is, no, do you have to get, you're not going to be able to attain. You could fool yourself, maybe. And you say, yeah, I'm doing this for Hashem. And, you know, sometimes people that do things for Hashem, you know, end up hurting a lot of people because they're busy with Hashem. And they don't. So you have to get 10 things clear before you're ready to move on. And by the way, if you hear voices, that's not Hashem. Hashem is what the Torah says, what the Shulchan Aruch says. That's how we know what Hashem wants. There's people that do things that do Averis also. We'll be learning about that. Sometimes people do Averis because they're sure Hashem wants them to do that because the circumstances call for that. It's also a very dangerous game to play. 10 things have to be established before you could work and attain this madrega. Number one is tohar yichud Hashem, the purity of yichud Hashem Yisaleh kefi shekodam betchila sifri zeh. And that could take a lifetime right there. To really, really, really visualize, internalize, and be mamashesh, really have a real, real feeling and understanding that ain't od milvado. Everything in the world is just a manifestation of His will. Everything that happens, everything that exists, everything that exists and everything that happens, that says it all, is an expression and a manifestation of His will. And that's ein od milvado. And that's the yichud of Hashem, which is the whole shara yichud, is Hashem's oneness, Hashem's singularity. And it just doesn't mean that there's no other God besides Hashem, ein od milvado, but as the Mefarshim point out, ein od milvado, there is nothing at all, not just no other God but Hashem, there's nothing at all milvado, and everything is just His will. So you have to get that clear and really believe it. Okay, that would be learning Shara Ayichud in Chayim Salvados. Vasheni is his bonanus betovos Hashem olav, the feeling that the realization and the contemplation of all that Hashem does for us, and according to the Chayim Salvados, well, that's Shara Bechina. That's what you should do. Just the realization. What that should lead to is already Shar Avodas Elokim. But Shar HaMechina is just to contemplate and think about and realize Hashem's Tavis on us, the multitude of Tavis, Uritzifus on my, and the constancy of the Tavis, right? I mean, our breaths, our lives, our thought process, our blood vessels, everything. Not what did Hashem do for me lately? What have you done for me lately? But to realize the tavis of everything, not just us. I mean, every minute that the sun is shining and that there's oxygen in the world, that's all a tavis for you. It's not just the running of the world. Everything that exists, every thing in natural science, every piece of biology, it's all Negeas, it's all Hashem's Tavis. So to think about that, to realize it, to be aware of it, it's okay, because that will lead to Vashlishi. Then comes Shar Avodas Elokim, because that creates, it should create, if you really felt that way, it would create an overpowering feeling of indebtedness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you just want to pay him back, but there's no way you can. And you have this feeling, what won't I do? Anything, I'll do anything. Like, let me just, a person, feel indebted. Let me do something back. Kabbalas HaMishmas L'Shem, so that leads to the acceptance of the feeling of Shibud, of Abdus Hashem, Sheheskarti Sham Gamkein. That's the third shar. Baravi is, as we move along, Yichudo beBitachon Olav Baladei HaNivraim, developing Midas HaBitachon, which means relying on Hashem, relying on Him, leaning on Him, relying on Him, to get used to the idea that He controls all and He is all. So if they ask you, right, you're driving to Yerushalayim and you're relying on the manufacturer of the car and the manufacturer of the gears and the guy that built the road and that the traffic light's gonna function normally, and you're relying on the person that put the tires on your car, and you're relying on your heart to pump and your seichel to tell you to drive and whatever controls the instinct in your body that you that you're driving properly without even thinking about it, right? So there's something there that's working, and your body's functioning and it's listening to your commands. People can be paralyzed and the body wills something that doesn't happen. So that's all you're relying on. You're relying on all these things. So you're really not relying on the guy that built the car. You shouldn't think that way. You're relying on Hashem that the car should function and that you should get to the... That's bitachon. You're relying on Hashem for everything. Whatever you want to do, whatever you think you're relying on others, whether you're relying on a lawyer or you're on a doctor... So you realize and develop a sense that you're only relying on Hashem. Bachamishis, the fifth, which is very, very close to the fourth. I'm not quite sure. Well, okay, it's a little different. The also habrura, developing a sense of knowledge. Ki atoeles, the hezek. I guess that's more developed, it's more in the real world. It's more bitachon in a vacuum is more theoretical. Then you develop the realization that no one can hurt you and no one can harm you and no one can do anything good to you. And no one can think he's going to help. You're going to be able to attain... You're going to be able to attain purity of motive if you develop a sense that there's no one, anything, there's nothing anyone can do to you except if Hashem wills it. So, and you develop that, then it becomes a no-brainer, right? If you really develop a sense that no one can harm you or help you unless Hashem wills it, so then that the motive falls away already. It becomes easy to disregard what people will do for you. Or if I do this, this guy is going to harm me. This guy is going to prevent me from attaining what I want to attain. This guy is going to stop me from getting a job. This guy is not going to, or a shidduch, or he's not going to help me get my. He's not going to help me if I need a. Something from the town. You know, I have to say this to him. I have to do this. I have to. So that's, if you develop a sense that no one can do anything to you in any event, so then it's not going to be that hard to develop purity of motive. Vahashishi, next is Sheshova Be'enov Mashabinayadam Mishapchim O'Maganim also. You have to, you just don't care. People praise you, they curse you. They say things about you. You just don't care. It's the same. You just shrug it all off. So you have to develop that sense.
Like a police in Hebron.
What?
Like a police in Hebron.
Well, no. They want their superiors to like them. They want to get promotions. They don't want to get fired. Right? They're doing what they're doing because... Very much they have ulterior motives in what they're doing. They don't want to get fired. Bashvi, well, they want a promotion. Bashvi, Archokas Hismo'os Bene Bneyodo. That sounds very much like the Shishi, but I think it's more subtle. Shishi is people praise you, people insult you, people degrade you. Shvi is just, I think it's an inner feeling that you want people to like you. And everybody's pretty much guilty of this. Guilty is the right word. People want people to like them. Nothing to talk about. People, and that's a tremendous motivation. Whatever circle you find yourself in, you know, maybe you don't care if a guy in Mongolia likes you or not. You know, in general, I think people want to be liked. So it's more subtle than Shishi. Shishi is, you know, people are going to what they'll do to you, sort of, what they'll praise you, or they'll... Shvi is very subtle, and it really controls everything we do. That people should hold of you, or like you, think highly of you, or think well of you, just that. And you have to try to move away from that. Rashmini, number 8, is Lerokein, to empty out Machshavto Belibo Meizke Ha'olam. You should look your whole life as attaining a goal of Olam Haba, as attaining a goal of Mitzchias. So he has to drop all ulterior things when he's working on his Mitzchias. He's always working on his Mitzchias. So he has to develop, right? It's just him and Hashem, that's all. That's all there is in the world. There's nothing else that matters, nothing else that counts. Olam Hazeh, he wants to go traveling, he wants to take a trip. He says, no, he has to lose those personal desires. Then he'll ask himself, why do I want to take this trip? Does Hashem want me to take this trip? Is this going to further my relationship with Hashem? Is this going to further my Hashem's will? Is it going to make Hashem happy with me? But so he has to empty out his own desires for things of Olam Hazeh when he's working on the ultimate goal of Binyani Achriso, which is always. You're always working on Binyani Achriso, or you should be. But the she, he says it very short. The whole thing is like 20 lines, but each one is very, very major and powerful, and takes years of work. But she liras Hashem Yisroma, to be afraid of Hashem, right? To develop a fear of Hashem, Yiras Shemayim. And this is really, I tell people they have to do with their children, because. Right, my feeling is, I've said it many times, that there's no teaching in chinuch of self-control. But you have to control yourself. That you don't have to fulfill every desire you have. You have to control. And that comes from Yiras Shemayim. If a person says, I can't control myself, what am I supposed to do? There's all these things around, and how do I control myself? You have to develop a sense of Yiras Shemayim. You're pushing afraid. You could do it with Yiras Ha'onesh. If it works, that's fine. You can do Yiras Haromimus, but that's what keeps us honest, to develop fear of Hashem. And that gives you the fuel to exercise self-control, to develop self-control, to be able to control yourself, because you have this outside thing that you're afraid of. And to be embarrassed of Hashem. Hashem's Meloch HaLoretz Kvodo. Hashem's watching every deed. We know how eagerly we wait for a movie that has recorded every second of our lives, and we're going to be made to sit and watch it. And we know how we're going to feel, how often we're going to be embarrassed, very embarrassed, totally embarrassed. So you have to develop a sense of embarrassment. Embarrassment is really the first step to Yiras Hashem, the Pasuk says. Right? Ulevavur tiyeh yirasu al paneichem, Chazal say zuhabusha. Developing a sense of shame. So to develop that, and again, it's only Hashem. Hashem knows every action that we do, records it, b'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtovim. So again, to come back to his point, he's saying, he's making a list of things that's going to help you attain purity of doing things l'shem Hashem. When he's afraid of Hashem, and he's embarrassed of Hashem, so he's going to think what Hashem thinks of him. And then you say, but what's this guy? Who cares what this guy's going to think of me? I'm embarrassed of Hashem, right? So. And someone wants you to listen to Lashon Hara, and you say, I'm ashamed. I tell him, no way, it's Lashon Hara. You know, call me a Fremak, he'll get angry at me. he'll make fun of me. I'm ashamed. And a very, very normal feeling. And a lot of things we do is like that. So, to develop a sense of ashamed of Hashem. And that embarrassment from Hashem is an embarrassment of Nitzchias. It's an embarrassment that's going to be everlasting. And it's an embarrassment that's going to be very thorough. It's going to envelop your whole essence. All there is after death is only your essence. So if that's ashamed, if your essence is ashamed, that's a busha that probably, you ever feel like really, really, really embarrassed and you just want to sink into the floor? You can't stand existing. You just can't bear the thought of what's happened. You just want to not be there. You're cringing. And that's loss of love, or the embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. It says in Chazal, that's a very, whether it's through the Pakur, through Hashem showing us how hypocritical we are, how we can't do certain things, we say, we think, but then we do it. I can't concentrate. I can't daven Shmoneh Esrei slowly. I can't concentrate so long. But then there's other things we concentrate on for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. How long was the Super Bowl? An hour. Right? We concentrate on things for an hour. You can't memorize things. You can't focus. But then there's things we do focus on. There are literally hundreds, thousands of things where the Sfarim say the din, Hashem's din, is focused a lot on hypocrisy. Chafetz Chaim says it also. He doesn't use the word hypocrisy, obviously. Not even the Hebrew equivalent of it. But like, we're not ice cold. Like, we say we can't do this, or we have to do this, and then we're forced to do this, and then our actions don't measure up to that in what we really want to do. Right? In things that appeal to us, and in things that we have a ratzon for, we overcome these things that we call obstacles when it comes to doing Ratzon Hashem, that we're not so eager to do, perhaps. Then all of a sudden it becomes like a huge mountain of obstacle and you can't do it. Or you act a certain way towards a friend because you're ticked off. You say, I couldn't help myself. I said it to him. I did it to him. But if it would be your boss, then you wouldn't act that way. Or if it would be someone you like, maybe the boss is not a good example, it would be someone you really, really like. So then, okay, you look aside. Because you like that person. You're not going to want to take nakama, you're not going to want to lash back at someone you really like. You're willing to overlook it. So that's how you feel about every Jew. So that's the feeling of embarrassment. So to develop, to be afraid of Hashem. Nowadays, if you tell someone, I'm going to be mechanech my children to be afraid of Hashem, they say you're going to scar the kid for life. You better not do that. You want to teach him to love Hashem, okay, that sounds good. But to fear Hashem, you're going to make him a basket case. But we do have, I feel we do have to, it's missing. It's missing a sense of yiras Hashem. The Rav says in Pirkei Avos, many Mefarshim say it. Right, Avos Hashem is wonderful and it's a good thing, but you have to have both Ava and Yira. If you have Avos Hashem, you don't develop Yiras Hashem, you'll do wrong things. If you have just Yiras Hashem and not Avos Hashem, you won't do mitzvah saseis. Right, that's how the Rav sets it up. If you don't have Ava, you might be boeit. Right, the pressure might become too much, so you might be boeit. And if you just have Ahava, so you take liberties. You think Hashem loves me, I have a good time. So you have to have Yira and Busha. And it says Yira and Busha. These are not things we think about. It's not comfortable to think about that. But it's one of the ways that's going, that's one of the things that will help us focus on, again, pure Yichud HaMaisa, plain and budget, because then you're focused. Because you know that embarrassment is way beyond any embarrassment you're going to feel from Bnei Yodam. Okay, but Asiri, Asiri is to use your Seichel. It's a good habit to levoit v'sichla. I like the way he puts it. Levoit v'sichla b'chol mashiyala yetzer alibo. You want to do a lot of things in life. People always want to do things. The whole day you want to do this. You want to do this. You want to do that. People want to do things. That's true. People want to do things the whole day. And people have seichel. People are intelligent. People are smart. People, but you have to use it. You have to be levoit v'sichla. You can't just be smart. You have to be shoyel eitzah from your intelligence. When you want to do something, stop and think. And be misyayitz with your... That's like number 10. That you have to get into the habit of actually thinking. Should I indeed do this? Is this a good thing to do? So then you'll start thinking, does Hashem want me to do it? That's really Yichud HaMaaseh. He's going through these 10 things that are setting you up to work on Yichud HaMaaseh. These 10 things are going to put you in the proper frame of mind, in the proper mode, in the proper setting. You'll be at least a kli that's ready to work on Yichud HaMaaseh. But if you don't have these 10 things, it's like, yeah, you might superficially do things, you know, you'll get excited for 2 weeks, you'll do things because Hashem wants you to do it, but it's not going to be real. To really attain Yichud HaMaaseh, these are the 10 principles, which each one of these 10 things is avoida for months, for years, for who knows what. Each one is an avoida if they had smoke. Then after the 10 things, so again, Chabad Lubavitcher talks ideals, but certainly the principles that we're learning, and you try and you work on things, should be concurrent. If we waited till we worked on everything, I think we're out of time, just as we did now.